Welcome back to Beta. I'm Doug Gordon. Have you ever felt awkward? Maybe you can't stand the sound of your own voice playback.
Have you ever felt awkward? Maybe you can't stand the sound of your own voice playback.
Oh, is that what I sound like? Yikes. Or maybe you said something at a meeting once and were met with silence. That's happened to me many times. How about the time that your neighbor said hi and you responded with good? These moments of awkwardness are part of being human. I could tell you about the time that I can't tell that story. That's too embarrassing. Give me a second. Well, there was that time in high school when I went... No, I can't tell you that one either. Let me put it this way. My life has been an endless series of one awkward moment after another, including this one, I guess. That's why I was so excited to talk to Melissa Dahl. She's originally from Racine, Wisconsin. Melissa has written a book called Cringeworthy, A Theory of Awkwardness. How does she define awkwardness?
I've kind of defined the feeling as self-consciousness with this undercurrent of uncertainty, like, you know, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do.
I hear you, Melissa. When she was researching her book, Melissa participated in a live event called Mortified. It's an event where adults share their most embarrassing childhood moments that they captured in their journals and diaries. Melissa read from her teenage journal. So I asked her if she could read the very same excerpt that she read in front of an audience of total strangers.
Do you know, like, how much the girl who wrote this diary just wanted someone to ask her that? Like, just talk about Hanson.
There you go. Yeah. Well, now's your chance. Yeah.
Okay, so this is from March 7th, 1998. I read this in the Mortified show.
Oh, cool.
How come no one here likes Hanson? I've been getting pictures of them off the internet almost all day today, and they're so cute. How can anyone not like them? What am I going to do? I have to call long distance if I want to talk about Hanson. I'm getting a corkboard tomorrow, and I'm going to do a whole photo collage in honor of Taylor. Yay.
Yeah, that's great. Now, reading this aloud on the radio after all these years and after you've already done it on stage, do you still feel awkward?
I was kind of looking at it before we did this interview, and it had been a while since I looked at it. You know, mm-hmm. I was kind of immersed in this stuff when I was writing the book and when I was in the show, and maybe just getting used to it made me feel a little less awkward. but reading it again now, I'm like, oh my gosh, that is pretty ridiculous.
Hanson's big hit was Mmm Bop, and as you probably know, being a big Hanson fan, that the Hanson brothers have said that the song's meaning has to do with Mmm Bop, that word representing the idea of time passing. There's that part in the song where they sing, in an Mmm Bop they're gone, in an Mmm Bop they're not there, and so it represents just things gone in an Mmm Bop. So an Mmm Bop seems to represent a very short unit of time, an instant, and yet here we are more than 20 years after Mmm Bop was originally released, and we're still talking about it.
Yeah.
It almost kind of undercuts the very meaning of Mmm Bop. As my fellow Canadian Alanis Morissette would say, isn't it ironic? It's like rain on your wedding day. And of course, rain on your wedding day is not really ironic, so this whole question is a bit awkward, don't you think?
No, I have been waiting 20 years for someone to ask me to analyze the lyrics of Mmm Bop. Yes, it is a brief moment in time, but it's also about comparing the people that are in your life for a minute to the people who stick around, who the people who kind of do care deeply about you. I was actually reading an interview with them last year, and they said, you know, they were like kids when they wrote this, and it was about like the other kids like don't understand that like we're into music, and,
yeah,
and they're
just... You talk about something in your book called the growing edge. This is a phrase I hadn't come across. What is the growing edge? What does that mean?
Yeah, the book is subtitled A Theory of Awkwardness, but it could have been like many theories of awkwardness because there are all these different thoughts I had about it swirling around in my head. So if we're saying that the things that make us cringe are the things that kind of highlight that gap between the you think you're presenting to the world and the you the world is actually seeing, then maybe one way to understand these moments where we feel awkward are there are moments that can, if appropriate, if we let them, they can kind of push us towards who we think we are, who we wish we were. They can push us towards that idealized version of ourselves we have in our heads. a lot of the interviews I've done about this book have focused on the things we typically call awkward, like you make a stupid joke in a meeting and nobody laughs, or like you spill coffee on yourself or have a bad hair day or something, these small moments. Mm-hmm. But as I was writing the book, I realized that we use the word to describe way more weightier things. I mean, the word has just kind of become a catch-all for anything we find uncomfortable.
Yeah.
From small things to really big things. While I was writing the book, I saw on the New York Times homepage a link that said, "Why We're So Awkward." And so, you know, I was like, oh, I'm interested in that. So I clicked on it. And it turns out it was this video about racial bias, you know?
Yeah.
Or there's this ad campaign that's been running for several years now in the UK from this disability advocacy group called Scope. And they run these PSAs called End the Awkward, where they argue that people who don't have disabilities feel so awkward around people who do that sometimes they just avoid interacting with people who have disabilities. So the phrase "your growing edge" came from one of these groups that I realized that either was using the word awkward to talk about uncomfortable conversations or had the word awkward kind of put upon them. It's this group called the People's Institute for Survival and Beyond. They bring people together to have really frank, uncomfortable conversations about race and racism in the U.S., which is deeply uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's the phrase they use. They call that discomfort, which some of us might call awkward. They call that your growing edge. They say that those moments you feel uncomfortable, it's so tempting to just check out, to kind of like, oh, I got to go to a coffee break. I got to, you know, I'm not coming back to this class. Or just to kind of shut down, kind of get defensive. And if you think about it, that's kind of often how we react to situations we call awkward, too. We want to avoid those situations. We want to avoid uncomfortable topics. We want to avoid awkward conversations. But their whole thing is, when you feel like that, that can mean potentially that you have some growing to do. That means that it could be, instead of something to shut down from, instead of something to avoid, it could be something, it could be an opportunity.
Yeah. So did you have a conversation while you were attending this workshop that helped you learn how to move past your growing edge?
Yeah. A lot of the people talked about just sitting with the discomfort. And I interviewed the comedian W. Kamau Bell for the book. His whole thing for years has been encouraging Americans to have more, quote unquote, awkward conversations, which he defines them the same way. He defines awkward conversations as conversations about race, about gender, about class, things that make us really uncomfortable. He kind of thinks of it as like redefining what awkwardness means. It doesn't have to mean it's negative. It means uncomfortable. It means I'm going to need to listen. It means I might not be right. I might not be correct here. It means I might not like what I am seeing about this version of myself that someone else is pointing out. But not naming those things as negative, just naming them as, that's just discomfort. That's part of an awkward conversation.
It's important to be able to do that, right? To move past our growing edge, especially in conversations about race.
It's hugely important. When I wrote this book, I thought about awkwardness more as an emotion, as a feeling, rather than a personality trait, which is kind of one way how we kind of talk about it as, you know, there are awkward people out there, or, oh, I'm so awkward. But I thought about it as more of a feeling that arises when you encounter something uncomfortable. If it is an emotion, and I think it is, then there is all this really cool research, kind of like new neuroscience that is coming out that's saying that the way we conceptualize an emotion actually impacts how we feel it. So if you can change the way you conceptualize an emotion, you can change the way you feel it. So it's not instant. It's not like you just change your mind about what it means to feel awkward or something like that. But over time, if you can just keep telling yourself, yes, I'm feeling awkward, but that's not negative. That's not necessarily negative. That can just mean this is an opportunity to grow. Then it can help you really just change the way you feel when you feel awkward.
Yeah, well said. You talk about something you call the awkwardness vortex. What is the awkwardness vortex?
Yeah, there are just decades worth of studies on this in the psychological literature linking self-consciousness and nervousness. And it doesn't really matter which one comes first, but one kind of triggers the other, and they just kind of go back and forth, exacerbating each other. I mean, we've all kind of experienced this. Like, if you go into a job interview and you're nervous, you just start thinking about, like, oh, like, what am I doing with my hands?
Yeah.
Am I sitting weird? Am I...
Yeah, you become very self-conscious and self-analytical.
Exactly. And once you're feeling self-conscious, that makes you more nervous. And once you're feeling nervous, that makes you more self-conscious. Yeah, that's kind of my name for the awkwardness vortex.
The awkwardness vortex would be a great name for a band. They could be kind of a shoegaze band with zero stage presence. They wouldn't make eye contact with the audience. And all their songs would be about things like how they can't stand the sounds of their voices on their albums and stuff like that. And of course, they'd steal the title of your book for their big hit single, Cringeworthy.
And they could make up lyrics from their teenage journals.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So are there any upsides to awkwardness?
I think so. I mean, yes, I definitely think so. Well, one of them is if we are saying that it's about sensing that gap between who you think you are and how other people are seeing you, I mean, what a nice thing to be the kind of person who's sensitive to that that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It really says nice things about you. That's a really kind of pro-social instinct. And if you're sensitive to these moments, then an upside of being sensitive to that is you, when appropriate, you kind of can use this feeling to improve yourself, which I think is cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny. I started off writing this book as kind of a guide to banish awkwardness forever. I never wanted to feel like this again, and I wanted to just dig into the scientific literature and just come up with just ways to stop myself from ever feeling this way again. It's an emotion that kind of reminds me of just the sheer absurdity of the human experience, you know?
Yeah.
It's these moments where we can kind of, like, see through the cracks of someone's impeccable self-presentation. And it's these moments where, to me, they became moments that can really lead to some true connection with each other.
Yeah, because it's something that we all share. We all
absolutely
experience awkwardness, as we were talking about earlier. Well, thank you for the great interview, Melissa. I feel like I didn't really push past my growing edge and go deep enough with my questions. What do you think? Or am I putting you in an awkward position by even asking this question?
I think this was great. I love talking about this. Embarrassed to be alive. Sit with my life open wide. Stairs forcing my face.
Melissa Dahl is the author of Cringeworthy, A Theory of Awkwardness.